Chapter 3. The call came in to Will Davis's suit. He at once turned to John Hyslop, just a few feet away from him.
This is for you, boyo.
Cusp Station local? If it is, it can wait until we're finished.
Not this one. Urgent from Sky City. They called me because they say your suit doesn't answer.
Of course it doesn't. I switched off so we could get some work done. But I can't ignore it if it's Sky City and urgent. Damnation. What did they say?
I don't know. It's personal, and it's scrambled. We can't go direct link. I'll have to relay through Cusp Station control to your suit so you can decode.
It seemed ridiculous. The two men floated side by side, less than 4 feet from each other. They could have put their helmets together and talked without any radio link at all, but a scrambled message could not be transferred and interpreted that way. Also, from John Hyslop's point of view, the communication could hardly have come at a worse time. Sky City maintained Mid-Atlantic, a clock zone convenient for work days in America and Europe. So far as city workers were concerned, the call to John was made at 8 in the morning, a reasonable time. But the few humans and innumerable machines working on the space shield enjoyed no regular hours and no fixed clock. Schedules were defined by need, with always the same underlying message. Do this as fast as you can, and remember that it may not be fast enough. The cat-sized Rolfs, robotic brainchildren of Gordy Rolf and his great contribution to the building of the space shield, could work 24 hours a day, but humans could not. So the call arrived when John Hyslop, Amanda Corrigan, Will Davis.